It's the good pot. All right, well, hang around and we'll talk about pot. Could be putting us at the precipice of middle-class privilege. This is going to give you the gift that keeps on giving.
It is.
KG, good to see you.
And you, Paul. It's been so long.
It has been. It has been so long. Now, today we bring a topic, or we're discussing a topic that's pretty close to your heart.
Yeah, I'm passionate about this one.
And, yeah.
I'm passionate about a lot, but, you know, let's
yeah, it's talk true. About, yeah. So you're a passionate guy. Well, you have passion oozes. Ooze passion.
Oh, well, no. Let me take that back.
No, too late. It's out there. It's out there in podcast land. You can't take it back.
Yeah, this one is cool because it is one that's been on my mind for a long time. I've recently written a book, and this is chapter one, or the first tool in the book. So it's a topic. Should I tell them?
Well, it's all about pot, right?
It is about pot, yes. And I know I'm going to get in trouble with this. Mom, I'm so sorry. I'm talking about pot on the podcast, but this is a good kind of pot.
It's the good pot. All right. Well, hang around and we'll talk about pot.
Yes. And it's a different kind of pot called purpose over task. We'll capture it, or we'll talk about it after
spoiler
this.
Spoiler alert.
I know it.
Welcome to Leadership Decanted, where we engage with the latest thinking on all things leadership, and we keep the conversation flowing over a nice bottle of wine. Before we get onto the topic at hand.
Of pot, yes.
Of pot, yeah. Well, every good pot needs to be accompanied by a beverage.
Oh,
and today.
And wait a minute, Paul.
Is that a
thing? I didn't know that was.
Do we have people from law enforcement listening to this podcast?
If there's a censorship, we're going to get it. Okay.
All right. Today, what we have to drink is a 2001 Picardy or Picardy. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. It's Merlot Cabernet Sauvignon Cabernet Franc. Blend. It's from the Pemberton region in Western Australia.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to say that again. That was a lot of words.
Yeah. Picardy or Picardy.
Yeah.
P-I-C-A-R-D-Y is the winery. It's a blend, predominantly Merlot.
Cool.
But blended with Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yep.
And Cabernet Franc. All of which, it's a kind of an old world French style red wine from Western Australia.
Okay. Love
it. And this is, in fact, older than my daughter.
Wow.
But I thought it was worth bringing in.
Yes, I'm looking forward to this.
Just
knowing the name alone, I'm salivating.
Yeah, now I'm a little bit worried.
Okay.
In that we've poured it. It's looking a little bit red brick. You know, I haven't quite tasted it yet, so I'm hoping that it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be lovely.
The cellaring conditions have been pretty good, I have to admit.
It's going to be lovely.
So,
come on, let's
here we go. Sanjay.
It's Sanjay.
It tastes like it's aged.
Yeah.
So it's not, it doesn't have that sort of fruity freshness of it, but it's got some nice rounded flavors, quite deep for a Merlot. I think the Cab Sav does keep the structure. So it tastes, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Yummy.
Yummy, as they say in the industry. Yummy. It tastes yummy.
I should be.
You should be writing.
Yes.
About this stuff.
I need to.
Yeah.
New profession.
So, deep berry, sort of almost forest fruity berry. Dare I say it, a bit of leather, leathery, even cedar, like a cigar box type cedar,
all right.
Which may sound really weird to people,
especially when you're drinking it.
But yeah, but okay. It tastes really good.
Okay,
yeah, it's really good. So Sanjay, nice job,
beautiful.
Okay, KG, I'm going to ask you about pot. What is it about pot that moves you so?
Now I'm going to start this off by saying, Paul, what do you think I know about pot? That's what I'm wondering.
Let's find out.
Okay. All right. We'll cut to it. This is a topic that's near and dear to me because it's something I've been using for years. And
you've been using pot for years.
Oh, wow.
This is not going to get old, is it? This is going to give you the gift that keeps on giving.
It is. This is a tool that I have kept in my leader's tool belt for a long, long time. And it's a mantra. It's a way of thinking. It's something that any person or leader or anyone can use. And it's a something I call purpose over task.
Okay, so that's the acronym.
That's what the pot is all about.
Purpose over task.
Purpose over task. And
so how did you come about this mantra?
Oh, this goes back a long way. So many, many years ago, as we do when we're in corporate leadership, I was going through a leadership training with an organization. It will sound semi-familiar to most of you. It's called the Disney Institute. And they were...
I've heard of them.
Yes. Well, the Disney part.
Yeah, or, Disney yeah, part, definitely.
Most people don't know who the Disney Institute is, and I didn't either until this particular session. They were great. They gave us lots of cool ideas and concepts about how to, really it was about culture and trying to make sure that we were service leaders and all those kind of things. They did a great job. But one of the things that stuck with me was a little known value that Disney holds in their organization internally. So when they train and bring on new staff members, they have this way of having them think about how they go about their everyday work. They have this thing called task versus purpose that they use internally. And after hearing that and after using it for many, many years from myself, because I said, oh, that's brilliant. I love that. And teams that I've worked with, I've you know, over time changed it to purpose over task because it just kind of has a better ring for me and it's more rounded.
Makes it a better acronym.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So a much better acronym.
Is the way that the Disney Institute defines purpose over task similar to how you define it, or has it changed over time for you?
It has changed over time for me, but it's similar in the way that it's the bones of it, right? So if you think about what it is, so let me step back and kind of give you what we're talking about when I'm talking about purpose over task. What I'm talking about is a way of making decisions within your life, in turn making decisions within an organization. And that is making conscious decisions about doing the things that have to be done. Yes, that's important. That's what we want to do. But ultimately, if there's something that you can do that helps you serve the purpose of the organization, choose that when you can. And the story that the guys at Disney told was a story of a young janitor sweeping up the park. Cleanliness is one of those things that Disney is all about. So sweeping, doing her thing, because it was a female at the time. And she saw a young lady drop her ice cream. So a little girl drop her ice cream on the pavement. And instead of doing what most people would have done, which would have expect her to just sweep up the ice cream and, you know, help out there, because that was definitely a part of what she should be doing.
Right? That's the job.
That's the job, right? That's the task. That's what she should be doing. And that would have been the perfect normal answer. Instead, what she did was she actually took the little girl and her friends over and bought her another ice cream and paraded her through the gates as normal. So it was one of those things that they showed, and they just said, this is an ideal person making the decision between purpose versus task. And for them, it's task versus purpose. Mm. So knowing that there's lots of tasks that you need to do, have to do, part of your job, part of the gig, right? But what Disney's all about is making people happy. So if you can find a way to do that, that's what you choose to do versus the task anytime you're presented with that opportunity. And I just thought, oh, that's brilliant. I mean, it helps us in so many ways. And the way I've used it in a team context has been, I've tried to look at what we're doing as teams and try to make sure that people understand what the grand purpose of us are. What are we supposed to be doing? As you know, I've worked for big companies where you're a small team of 10 in 100,000 people. Mm. But, you know, people need some sense of what does this mean? What am I doing for the organization? How is this actually making a difference, right? And so when you give people something to strive for as a group, it helps. And I would always give them that mantra is the way that we actually do our day-to-day business. We've got tasks that we've got to do, those reports. We've got things that we have to get out day-to-day. But if we can actually serve the purpose of us as an organization, let's choose that over anything else.
And does purpose have to be lofty?
Oh, I don't think so.
Are there different types of purposes?
Yeah.
Or look, is that purpose I? Is there a Latin phrase? Purposes?
Purposes. I love it. So I think of it, look, my wife owned a cafe for a long time. Yeah. And if I were to put that into just normal situation, it doesn't have to be lofty. If a customer comes in and you're wiping down the tables, you've got two choices. You can keep wiping down the tables because that's the task you're on. Somebody told you to wipe down the tables or you wouldn't be doing it most likely. Or even if you weren't told, it's your job. So you're keeping them clean. Cleanliness is the thing you do. But if a customer comes in and is standing there, you have a choice to either make a choice to keep wiping down, knowing that they're hoping that they're going to be helped by someone else, or you can take on yourself the opportunity to fulfill the purpose of, at the time it was my wife's cafe, of helping the customer.
So that scenario assumes that the person that's doing the wiping on the table understands the purpose.
Yeah.
And secondly, that it connects every interaction.
Yeah.
With or every potential interaction with that purpose. Is that right?
That's right. So what you're trying to do is give yourself or the people you work with or the people around you a way to make decisions easier. And I say decisions because I think that that's part of, and when we talked about this an episode ago about leading self, right?
Yeah.
And I think it kind of works together because what you're trying to do is give yourself the opportunity to make the best decisions in life, period. You know, it has nothing to do with leadership. It's just life, right? We all want to do the right things and we want to progress in life and make the right choices. But if you can use something like this or any tool that helps you kind of know that you're making decisions for a reason and that reason has a grand importance to you internally, then it's better. It makes you feel like you're going towards that versus staying stagnant in some cases. Mm. And so that's why I used it and that's why I loved it because I think it has helped me tremendously. Again, not only leading myself because, you know, we talked about getting back into this rhythm and you know, making these podcasts. It was one of those things that helped me do this because I thought, well, we know that this is really what we want to do. Mm. So we'll just keep plugging away until we get there, right? Yeah. And we know that there's lots of life that takes over. And for us, we've both got families, we've both got businesses, we've both got things that will keep us away from doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But when I put it against the other tasks in my life, this has a part of my grand purpose, which I love sharing this kind of stuff in this leadership conversation. So it rises, right? It fits my purpose. So I definitely want to put more time into it than some other things. And I guess this leads me to one other thing that I want to make sure that's clear is that you still have to do the other stuff, right? There's, I have to do the laundry when I get home and I have to, I'm sure there's, you know, lots of other things that I will do when I get home. So those tasks don't go away. But this time with you, this time, you know, with the audience gives me a chance to fulfill another part that I think is really more closely aligned to my purpose.
I guess what you're also talking about is there is some sort of external purpose or a reason for something that somehow connects with your reason for something.
Yeah, yeah.
So if I were to take that corporate scenario where, you know, often organizations are multi-purpose.
Yes.
And you can take the cynical view if you like and say that, well, you know, most organizations' purpose are really to fulfill and create shareholder value and thereby increase their capitalization, yada, yada, yada. That's a purpose. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's just a secondary benefit of purpose. Yeah. I don't know. But when an organization has a particular purpose or multi-purpose eye, someone should help us with
somebody
that.
Somebody write in. Let us know, please.
That's right. It's the wine talking right now. Is there an opportunity to choose which purpose you align with? Must you align with all the organization stands for? what if the organization's purpose might be a little bit contrary to yours? So there's a lot to unpack in those three questions.
Oh, man, there is a lot. So
where would you like to start?
Where do I go?
Should I reframe?
No.
I've got them all.
Okay, great.
So I actually don't have them all, but you'll remind
me. That's okay. Well, I'm just picking up my glass now. I'm just going to have a bit of a drink while you talk.
So if I think about the multiple purposes and whether or not you align to the organization's purpose about, you know, shareholder value and so forth. Look, I think there's a little bit of that in us making some decisions about how we align to whatever we're doing. So, you know, taking aside the corporate context, I think we have the choice to decide whether it fits into our, I'll call it, how we think about life. I go to work, and this is just me. I go to work. I know that it provides money. I know that it provides me a sense of purpose in the fact that I can provide service to customers, all those kind of things. If I were to look at my company and its values, it really has nothing to do with any of those, right? If I were to look at the values that they have listed on the wall.
Corporate values.
The corporate values. Right, nothing. Right. It has nothing to do with that. What I've done is I've looked at where I fit in to the organization and what I think I do well or like to do. So I love being able to provide service to people and you know, it's going to sound a little bit corny, but, you know, delight and give them things that they didn't expect that they would get out of us as an organization. That thrills me, right? That makes me happy. So for me, being a part of this organization, the organization that I work for, allows me to do some of those things. And where we align together with the organization is they give me latitude to do those things and make some of those decisions to delight and do the things that are a little bit odd, but they make a big difference to customers. And they don't push me down and say, no, don't do that because it doesn't align to exactly what we, you know, wrote on this piece of paper. So there's some freedom there. So in that way, the organization aligns to my purpose. And yes, there are some things about their value statement and, you know, the corporate values that make sense to me. But that's not really how I make the decisions that I make day to day, nor is it how I lead my teams. That being said, I've worked for organizations that have some really great corporate value statements that, and I'm not saying that the ones that I have are horrible, but they just don't, you know, they don't resonate with me directly, right? Because we talk about all kinds of things that are not really personally something that I resonate with. But I've worked with organizations that really talk about, you know, how they want to impact individuals and make their lives better and things like that. And I think those statements really provide that feeling of, ooh, if I get behind this, I can really make a difference in a person's life. When you unpack those types of statements, though, again, these are organizations that may have hundreds or thousands of people. You still have to make decisions individually how you align to those things. So if you're working in accounting, your day-to-day job is about, you know, numbers or the money and all that kind of stuff. How are you impacting an individual, you know, providing value to customers, all that kind of stuff? You kind of have to make that decision. If what you can do, you think actually leads to that, great. If you can say that what I do provides value to my internal customers, if you will, and that provides value to you personally, then it's still a good thing. So I think you have to take them apart and you have to make some personal decisions about what your purpose is and make sure that that personal purpose either can fit somewhere in the corporate strategy and it works. And if it does, great. You stay with them. You keep doing your gig. If it doesn't work, then I think that's when you start to say, maybe I should be looking for someplace else that I can align my personal purpose to that thing and it makes sense.
So what might it look like then, KG, when you are in a workplace and doing your day-to-day tasks where you may not yet have connected with purpose? What might that look like over time for you as a lived experience?
I will go way, way back in experience. So when I, this is way, way, way back. So when I, my first job was flipping hamburgers for a fast food joint, right? way before I had any concept of purpose over task, right? Yeah. So that wasn't even my thinking. But the way I aligned my personal goals and my purpose with what the organization was doing was I felt good about what I was doing because I was doing the best that I could do, right? As far as delivering quickly and trying to make it the best burger that I could make it. And yes, I realized that I was doing the exact same thing, salting it, you know, three shakes of the salt and pepper shaker every single time. And I wasn't doing anything unique, but I felt like I was doing good because, you know, I knew I was doing something that was purposeful for me, meaning I was doing the very best that I could do at the job that I was given. So that was the task and I was doing it the very best. But it aligned to my personal purpose because I knew that overall, I just wanted to give my best at everything that I did.
Right. So it strikes me though that in that example, you had at least some self-awareness of what you were there, a bigger purpose to fulfill or a bigger reason to fulfill than just flipping burgers.
Yeah, and I think that's the hardest part, right, is that most people, and I say most people, some people don't try to find that in the things that they do. That's why when I talk to teams and when I talk to my team, I always talk about purpose over task because I want to incite people to think about how they connect. Give them a reason to question what they're doing and how it connects to other stuff. Mm. Even if it's just you personally and what you do, then that's fine as well. It's really easy to do none of that, right? And just do the task. I've been given a job. I get paid for it. I'm going to do that. And believe me, I've done that many times as well, right? So it hasn't always been aligned to something.
And how do those experiences contrast to the times when you have connected with purpose?
Quite simply, there's no comparison, right? So the things that I did that was just because, they were easy to leave. It was easy for me to not do my best. I mean, there was, you know, and I've done that, right? So I didn't feel good about where it left off. And over time, I corrected that and said, oh, maybe that's not how I want to work. And some people, and sometimes I didn't have a choice. So I was just doing a job because I needed the money and that's it. And I think, okay, I'll do that. But anywhere that I could find a reason that it made more sense to me, the more that I gave and the better the outcomes came because I was giving more and I was actually helping the organization and all those things. I think any time that I couldn't find that connection and I knew it was just to get by and I knew that no matter what, I didn't really like being here and I didn't like the people around me and I didn't like doing these things, these tasks, then it made it so that I wanted to find something different. And I know that some people don't have the motivation to find something different, even though they don't like what they're doing. They just keep doing it because it's the easiest thing. It's easier to just keep doing it than find something different. But this is where I would encourage people to really look at, is there anything here that gives me that drive, that want to do something else? And if you don't find that, then, you know, it is hard to make a decision to do something else, but do it.
I'm interested in the possibility that a concept like purpose over task could be putting us at the precipice of middle-class privilege, right?
Yeah.
Insofar as sometimes you've just got to do stuff because survival depends on it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that sounds a little bit catastrophic, I guess, but you know what I'm talking about. There are some times that you've just got to do things, whether it's to put food on the table or to pay your rent or your mortgage or your bills. And you might have to do that because it serves a purpose.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily connect to the source of purpose that you're talking about, or does it?
It can. And
how do you do that? How do you find, if you're in a position where you don't have a choice but to stay, how do you reach in deeply or how do you connect with purpose? Or is that really, like I said, just jumping over that middle class precipice?
Yeah, no, you've got a point, right? Because everybody doesn't have as many choices as some of us have, right? And so there is some kind of, you know, we have to not paint this brush for everyone because it's not possible in every situation. And I think many of us have been in a situation where we have to just do what we're doing. Full stop. There's nothing else we can do. And even in that, I think if we are in a situation where we have to do what we're doing, we can make choices whether we're doing it to get to the next step or doing it to our disservice. And I think that's where you can use the purpose over task thinking to help you get through to the next step. Because even in a situation where you're just getting by, you've got no other choice but to, you know, work the job you're doing, because I've got, you know, and this is, you know, some situations where people are going to have the same situation. I've got a friend who has gone to prison before. Mm. When he came out of prison, the number of jobs available to him were really narrow, right? Yeah, and we want people to rebound from that kind of thing and say, okay, you know, you've rehabbed, you're all good, go out and now do good things.
Yeah, be a contributing member of society.
Yeah, but when no one will hire you because you have a record, where does that put you? And, you know, how do you do the next thing and the next thing? Well, there were some choices there, right? And like you said, there's some situations where you just got to survive. And he was in one of those situations where it was just survival, right? Anybody who would give him a job, he was going to do it. You know, it doesn't matter how legitimate it is, how productive it is or whatever. I need a job. That was the point where he was at. And I think those situations go well beyond my ability to provide advice on. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you what he did. He looked at it as, no one is going to give me a chance if they don't see that I can be a good worker. Right. No one else is going to give me a chance. So he used every small chance that he was given as an opportunity to prove to other people that he was a reliable worker, he was an honest worker, that he could do anything that anybody gave him the chance to do, so that as he went for that next job, he had something to show or something that he could reference that said, look, I'm all in this to turn my life around and do good things.
Is that the purpose you think that he was leaning into or clinging on to, being, you know,
that's it,
better person or
that's it,
or so contributing to society?
So he made a choice, right? And everybody doesn't make that choice. Everybody doesn't have the opportunity or the ability to make those choices. So I can't say that everyone who's been in that situation should make the same choice, but he used that as the driver, the purpose for everything that he was doing. So he wasn't just doing the whatever it was, you know, grocery, you know, bagging groceries or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not what he was doing. He was doing it for the ultimate purpose of being able to do the next step when that came about.
Right.
He was looking for that next opportunity, but he knew that the only way to get opportunities was to show value in the current role that he was. So he was using that. So he was using the purpose as, you know, he was building his own grand purpose, if you will.
Yeah.
It wasn't lofty. It wasn't big and something that we can all kind of write down on a, you know, on a board and say, everybody go do that. But for him, it was creating something that gave him the drive, the momentum, the reason to get up every morning.
And certainly in this case, his purpose transcended the task.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was bigger than the task. It was beyond the task.
It made the task itself actually become meaningful. So it didn't eliminate the task. It didn't change what he was doing. It actually just made it more meaningful.
Yeah. And it may still have been a very mundane, boring task, but that meaning perhaps could fuel you, you know, fuels him into doing that and not focusing on perhaps the mundaneness of it.
Yeah, that's
but in
it.
In the bigger thing.
Yeah. So it actually flips that so that it's not about not doing something. It becomes about what do you take out of the things that you are doing? You know, what are you creating for yourself to make these things more purposeful?
So purpose over tasks then seems to be founded on conscious and deliberate choice.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. It's how do you make those choices? What gives you the ability to make the right choices in, you know, your life? And like the examples you're giving, it doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it is big, and sometimes it's about a corporate situation, and you're trying to make sure that you're leading a whole group and you're trying to give them something lofty to look after so that we can all kind of look to that as the big thing that we're facing. Yeah. But sometimes it's just us leading ourselves and saying, you know what? I've got lots of things on my plate. I've got lots of things that I can do. I've got some things that have been successful and some that haven't been. How do I pull something of value out of that? And that's finding some internal purpose almost that kind of helps you drive that next thing. There's a story that, you know, some of it's, I don't know if it's true. I've tried to verify it several times and I've Googled it, trust me. But it's about President
Kennedy. Still a good story.
Still don't know if it's real. But let me give you, and it's similar in the way that when JFK was trying to launch the space program in the U.S., there was lots of talk about what they're going to do, and they're trying to put a man on the moon. So did a tour, you know, made a big speech saying we've got to do this. And, it made it part of what the country was trying to do. Now, a couple things there, right, is his way of galvanizing the country behind this was tough because what he was trying to do was get lots of money. It's, you know, billions of dollars to go to the moon, which, you know, what purpose that serves, a lot of people still question today, right? Sure.
Well, yeah, he himself said, yeah. We don't do this because it's easy.
That's right.
We do it because it's hard.
Yes. And that's it. And so that, and there was one story where he went to do a tour at NASA, trying to get people really excited about what was happening and where they were trying to go as a country. And he runs into someone who's sweeping floors, and he just, you know, lightly asks, as he does, what do you do here? And the person who was sweeping the floor looked up at him and said, well, Mr. President, I'm helping send a man to the moon. And he used that same thinking to say, wait, everybody here at NASA, we're all doing something that's helping this program. We're all doing something that's helping send a man to the moon. But that was a very interesting personal choice, because me, I might have been sitting there sweeping going, everybody else is doing some cool stuff, but am I helping this? Mm. But that's not what he did. He said that my purpose, this thing that I'm doing, is still providing value to this organization, which provides value to what we're doing as far as sending a man to the moon.
And if that's not a true story, it should be.
Yes.
print the legend. Print the legend.
It's there. Right.
So, fantastic.
Yeah. So that's what purpose over task is about pot. You know, if you're going to do pot, do this kind of pot, because.
Well, they're not mutually exclusive. Not that I'm endorsing drug use, we're
just drinking, right?
We're just drinking. Yeah, that's it. So, is purpose fixed? If we went back to your experience of flipping burgers, at some point you left that role, right?
Yeah.
You left that job. Is it because your purpose changed, or what was it that was the catalyst for you to leave that job and perhaps every other job since? What is it about the things that we do, the tasks that we do, and the purpose? If those tasks align with our purpose, wouldn't we be staying in a particular role forever and ever?
Yeah, we would. And I think that this is where it's a little bit different than a lot of thinking, but
right.
I think you have to consider, everyone has to consider, that purpose changes. And I have a really, it's an odd definition, but my definition is really that purpose is kind of this intersection between where you are, the things that you've experienced, and the impact you want to have on the world, right? Because I think if you kind of think of, you know, life as a journey, you have all these experiences, and at some point you have experiences that make you think differently. And then that thinking differently will make you think about the impact you want to have on the world, and that's your purpose. So as I was young and I was going through my journey, my impact was I just wanted to work hard. I just wanted to, I was actually trying to get a car at the time. So
I was working. Did you manage to get, well done.
I did get my first car.
Okay.
And that's what I was working for. I had a very specific purpose. It had nothing to do with anything grand. It didn't have anything to do with family. It didn't have anything to do with any of that.
But that, does it make that a less type of purpose?
I don't think so. I think at some level we always kind of push down people who don't have that kind of grand plan. You know, I do know people who said, I've known since I was a kid that I wanted to be a doctor. They grew up and they became a doctor. So I think, wow, that's brilliant. For them, maybe they've had the same purpose for a long, long period of time. But even that person who became a doctor, I think that that's a career, not necessarily a purpose. So somewhere in there, they've had to make a decision where the steps that they're taking actually help them stay connected to either their patients, and they're now really focused on curing as many people as they can or doing other things. But I think that for most of us, over time, we've changed our focus in life. And that, in essence, is our purpose. And so I think it is not fixed, right, to answer your question. I think it does mold and morph with us. And I think it's really the encounters that we have, you know, sometimes the jobs that we have or the people we meet or the fortune or misfortune that we have that actually creates that line of sight to what purpose is.
Mm.
So that's a long way around, but it, to me, that's what purpose is. It's going to change. And I think that's okay. But I know that most people kind of see, oh, I've got this one purpose, and they may not see that it changes. But.
And I think what I find quite interesting about what you're saying is last episode, we talked about that possibility of stepping back and letting the space emerge, right?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether there's an analogy there or there's an equivalence in that sometimes we get so busy with life that we don't step back and give space to purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Why am I here? Why am I working this job, or why am I doing this, or why am I buying all these things, or why do I have this mortgage, or whatever it might be, right? I wonder whether the whole notion of leading self and finding purpose and focusing on purpose over task, I wonder how connected they are in that way about giving yourself some space, seeing what emerges and allowing you to connect with that.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point, because if you give yourself the opportunity, you can find these things. Mm-hmm. But quite often we're just going. We're just going hard. And sometimes you need to go hard, and that's okay. But where you can, if you can pull back and actually give yourself space to consider whether or not you're in line with purpose, whether there is a purpose to what you're doing, whether there is something else that actually better resonates with who you are as a person or where you fit in the organization, I think we'd all benefit from that. So it's combining them. So
And sometimes this space or this need to reflect is thrust upon us.
Yeah.
I've been talking to a lot of people the last 12 months where the pandemic that we've been living has literally slowed them down.
Yeah.
And sometimes by a huge amount, insofar as all of a sudden realizing that they're working or they're living a life at such a slower pace to before. All of a sudden, they'd be made aware that they weren't really connecting to a purpose or to a reason for doing stuff, which has created for many an existential crisis.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm enjoying what I'm doing, but now what?
Yes.
Now what do I do? Because they were so task-driven that they weren't even asking the question.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're faced or forced to ask the question, but they seem to have nothing to draw from. If you find yourself in that situation, what do you think would be a good two or three steps to take to try and rectify or maybe course correct?
Yeah, look, I think we kind of touched on it in the last podcast. And yes, this is a shameless plug to go off and listen to the last podcast.
Plug away.
But look, I think sometimes it is literally giving yourself space and not seeking so much, because like you said, sometimes that space creates that awareness, which is great. Now I've given myself time to think about the fact that maybe I'm not connected to purpose, or maybe I need to rethink where I'm at in life. But don't rush it. Give yourself time to consider that there some things will come to you and some things will be presented to you. So if you again go back through and try to force something because now you have the awareness, you're just creating, you know, artificial things to look for and all those kind of things. So I think you give yourself that time and space. That's the one big thing that I would say. And don't force the next step. Just keep stepping forward, but don't force the next step. We talked about this as far as this podcast and about us taking a break from it and not knowing exactly why we hadn't pushed to the next level. And one of the things that we did was just keep connecting with each other. Yep. And that was a step forward. And I think that's the type of thing you want to do, is just keep connected and keep stepping forward. The other thing that I would say is, when it comes to finding that next thing, is, and this is hard, and I get that, is looking a little bit inward. And I know that sounds kind of lofty, but I think that we have to look at what we want to do, meaning how we want to impact those around us. Whether it's a family thing and you want to impact your family and make things better for them, or you want to do something better for the environment, or whatever it is, I think a little bit of it is looking inward and trying to find out what's the things that you really feel strongly about. If you feel strongly about stuff, maybe that's more aligned to where you should start to look. Not try to force anything, but start to look there, because that may provide you a sense of purpose. And then maybe because you now have started to look at things in a different way, maybe you can find purpose in what you're doing. And, you know, or maybe you decide to do something new because now you can find purpose. So those are the couple of things that I would say. But it is hard. And I think a little bit of it is, you know, we're all wired a bit differently. We all take a little bit different ways to get there. But I think the first thing we have to do is kind of look at what is that purpose and actually with intention try to find it.
Mm. Well, that is pot.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That is pot.
Thank you. Yeah, great conversation, man. Thanks for that. Appreciate you giving us a bit of a view in terms of your thinking, your writing. When's your book coming out?
Oh, man, you tell me.
Okay.
No, very, very soon. Pre-order, if there's such a thing. Look really? Somewhere. Great. Do some searches.
Okay, yeah. Do you have a title for it?
I do have a title. Someone may change this for me later, sure. But it's called 10 Leading Tools.
Nice,
and
okay.
So that's what you can look for. And if you find that, then that means it's out there somewhere. If you don't.
We're still working on it.
Send me a note and I'll tell you when, you know, because I may have to do a self-publish.
Fantastic, right. Fantastic. Lovely. Well, look forward to the next one, man.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So glad we got a chance to chat. And same here. Look forward to the next one.
See you all next time. Slange. That's it for our show today. If you like what we do, if we like our conversations, if you want to hear more about what we do, please rate us, review us, subscribe, tell your friend, your family, your enemies, tell everybody you know. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback. If there's any particular leadership topic that you'd like to hear about or want us to explore, please let us know. We'd really appreciate that. And come back next time.